Once again to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 149. We're coming to you on this, the last week of October. Not necessarily Halloween just yet, but Halloween is the middle of the week next week, which really sucks, but that's a discussion for another day. So we figured we'll do our traditional Halloween-themed episode this week. In years past, we've done... I believe we did Wes Craven one year we did slasher films, you know, Freddy, Jason, and all that fun stuff. This year, we're doing something a bit different. We're talking about video game horror movies, which, surprisingly enough, there are a decent number of. For the most part, we're going to just focus on the Resident Evil and Silent Hill films, but there are others. There's been Doom, there's been House of the Dead, there's been Blood Rain, so those may come up. But before we get there, I get too out of hand, let's introduce our panel. We have Sam.
Hey, what's up?
Doing it again. We have Dan.
Hi, I'm Dan. I just evolved the Pidgeotto into a Pidgeot. Fun story.
I don't know if that's horror related, but...
it might be.
Depends on...
Pokemon movies. Definitely Pokemon movies.
Oh, there are 17 of them, I believe.
Holy shit, I didn't know that. I only got through 3, but alright.
I think they stopped putting them in theaters after the 4th one, but I think the 17th one just premiered on Cartoon Network this past weekend.
Oh, gosh. Great, great. I have a lot of catching up to do. Gotta watch them all.
Gotta watch them all. But not Pokemon and not video game movie related, because you've done that before, and it never ends pretty. I don't think this one's going to end as pretty either, but this is more based on the content of the movies and not necessarily their tie-ins as video game products. So, I think the one that really kicked it off, and the most popular video game franchise, I guess, in movie form would be Resident Evil.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Popular and well-loved are two different things among movie audiences, but sure, those movies tend to come out and get some press.
I feel like at some point they were well-regarded by fans. I think some people enjoyed the first few.
Yeah, maybe the first two. I actually came into the series at 3. And I really liked 3, went back, watched 1, liked 1, hated 2. Yeah, anyway, I'll let you get into those.
Let's kick it off with 2002's Resident Evil, which is pretty much Resident Evil in name only. It has very little to do with the concept of the game.
But introduced Mila Jovovich, because, I mean, you know, she's alright.
Yes, who is a character who isn't in the video game, who is a character, as far as I know, who still isn't in the video game.
I am surprised by that.
But, we're going to have to separate this from the discussion of the video game, because the first one is pretty much kind of a haunted mansion type style.
Yep. Video game, right? That's what we're talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the movie.
Oh, okay.
Has them going through that, a facility. But it's kind of the whole setup where they're in an enclosed space and they're being picked off one by one and they're trying to find their way out to survive. So I guess in that sense, it's kind of related to the first game in that they're both in confined spaces and they both have them being killed off by zombies. Even though in this case, I think the bigger threat were the Lickers and the dogs than actual zombies.
I mean, if you can make a movie off World War Z and have it loosely involving zombies, I'd argue that Resident Evil also works.
And I actually thought the first movie worked well in what it was trying to do, what it was trying to accomplish. And as we'll get to in a bit, I feel like the problem with the rest of the movies are they just kind of dump all of that because they always want to try to reset it so it fits into the game universe in some fashion. Where this one was radically different. It had, you know, it had a new character. What was the name? Alice?
Yep.
I don't believe any of the characters in the movie were from the game at all at this point. And even the main threat wasn't a zombie exec. It was a computer program.
Yeah. Sounds right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the things that stand out to me about this movie is I think it has the, and I'm sure this is a movie, a thing that's been done in other movies. It has, like, the crosswire death where, like, there's a laser and it cuts up the person into chunks.
Yeah, oh, I remember that.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
That's probably, like, thinking back on the movie, the one thing I remember the most about it is that one sequence of the dude being cut in little bits. And he almost escapes, and then the laser slices through him, and then he kind of stands there for a minute, and then just meat chunks.
Just as a minor tangent, and I don't know how deaths work. I personally have never seen somebody die in front of me, but it always pisses me off in movies when people get these exaggerated. Like, he gets cut up, and he'll stand there perfectly fine, and everything just starts sliding off neatly. Oh, yeah, instead of just, like, collapsing under the weight of it all.
Yeah, well, the laser cauterizes the wounds, obviously. It's like a lightsaber. You know, you slice through it, and then it doesn't bleed for a while. I mean, clearly, that's how it works.
And then you fall apart after it's been cauterized a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. No blood, no intestines, just meat chunks. Like Gears of War, basically. So they got the animation from, I guess.
Okay. Well, I think Gears of War was after.
I'm trying to fill dead air, but I think you just got there for a minute.
but yeah, I was going to say, I think the other thing is that it ends in, like, this train sequence, and they're trying to get out and stuff like that. And then it ends with this giant cliffhanger where Alice is taken back into the facility, and she's going to be tested on. And this is kind of where the rest of the series kind of picks up from this one thread. Because after this movie, she becomes, like, a super soldier.
Yeah, then it totally, like, I was trying to think of, like, a good word for it, or, like, phrase. But
jump
it turns
the
into...
Shark.
Yeah, jump the shark, sort of, but, like... Turns
Sharks
into this whole,
rails.
Like, she's...
Sharks
the,
off the rails.
It's all about her instead of about, like, zombies and stuff, and it's like, stop. Just stop.
Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, I understand. Like, I thought making it different from the video games made sense and kind of giving her the ability to, you know, kind of testing her with this virus, because it is the virus in the game that she's injected with.
Yep.
And she reacts differently. I thought that was interesting, but as we'll find out, and I guess we can talk about two as well here, it's like this is when they start saying, okay, crap, we have to fit this into the video game somehow. So here's Jill Valentine and here's Nemesis. And Nemesis, I believe, is a character from the first movie?
I don't remember him in the first movie, but maybe
yeah,
he was.
I don't know.
No, I thought Nemesis was somebody, like one of her friends in the first movie that they were testing the virus on.
See, I didn't actually watch it recently, but I always thought they, like, sort of made up the fact that she was in the first movie to come to the second movie. It's like, yeah, you were totally in that first movie, remember? And it's like a fake flashback. That was my interpretation of it, but I haven't seen it in a while.
Okay, I'm going to admit this as well. I have not seen it in a while either, so this is going off of memory.
Yeah,
and they
me
do
too.
Tend to really throw together after a while.
Yeah, the second one is just sort of, like, that's the one that wiped itself from my memory. Except for the one line that goes, nah, and word, my shit's custom, and the guy pulls out the two golden guns. That's it. That's all I remember about that movie.
Is that the scene in the church?
Yes, it is. And that is absolutely my favorite scene from a Resident Evil movie. It just happens to be smack in the middle of the worst one.
I wouldn't say worst one. I've seen the other... There are five of them, I believe?
Okay, second to worst one.
Is this also the one with the Gatling gun at the end, or is that another one?
I think it's the one with the, like, robo-controlled Gatling gun man. Because isn't that what they started to bring in the movie the game characters a little bit?
Yeah, it had Joe and Carlos. And I think the other thing with this, and this goes with any use adaptation, is trying to fit it into the game versus you realize certain characters can't really die because they wouldn't exist in the game if they died in the movie.
Right.
So, like, bringing Jill in, it's like she's not a threat because she can't die.
Yep.
And you never feel that she's going to die.
Maybe that was the problem with the second movie, is that they tried to tie it into the game universe, as you said, and that ultimately brought it down. Like, movies should be separate from games, as I'm sure we'll have in other examples.
Yeah, and like I said, I thought the first one worked well in that it tried to be its own thing. It wasn't, you know, it's not even like, there's no timeline. You don't have to say it's before Resident Evil or after. It's really, it's its own thing, and it just exists.
Apocalypse is the name of the second one, right? It's Resident
yeah.
Evil, Resident Evil Apocalypse? Okay.
Yeah.
Are we counting the animated one?
I was going to bring those up. We can talk about them really quickly. Personally speaking, they both suck.
I skipped those. So.
That's all that needs to be said about them, I think.
Except they are actually related to the games. I forget if it's is it Degeneration or Damnation that is pretty much the gap between Resident Evil 4 and 5.
All those adjectives just blend together at some point.
I think it's Degeneration. I'm not a huge Resident Evil fan, but I think Degeneration, I remember it being.
Yeah, that's the one with Leon, I should say. And this takes place in between Resident Evil 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So that's actually in continuity. And then Damnation came out. Yeah, it's bad enough, and the movies suffer from this as well, but it's really, if you're an animated movie and you have cheap animation, it really stands out more than if you're a live action movie with that cheap animation. And it has some piss poor CG in both these films. I remember watching it with a friend when it came out because he was a huge Resident Evil fan, and I'm just like, this is awful, can we turn this off after 10 minutes? And if you know me, you know my tolerance for terrible movies is extremely high.
Yeah, we should watch the Final Fantasy movie instead. Oh, wait, no. Oh, sorry.
That's another. I was going to say, I don't mind the CG Final Fantasy. Not the Spirits Within, but the Final Fantasy Avantchild.
Oh, I don't know. I'll admit, I never saw Avantchild, but my friend got the bonus edition that came with the script, and I flipped through a couple pages of the script, and it was like, oh, we're going to fight now. And then it's like, sword hits other sword. So it explodes. Two characters start punching each other. I'm like, oh man, this looks bad. It looks.
It's pretty much every anime you've ever seen.
Okay, fair. Okay.
So yeah.
I'm already sidetracking us.
It's okay. The next one up is Resident Evil Extinction.
Yeah, I like this one.
And this introduced Chair Redfield because I don't know what happened to Jill in between the films, but they got rid of her.
Stuff just happens to Jill in the series, and people just kind of are like, yeah, okay. Like, between 4 and 5.
So, Sam, since you remember this one, or like this one, what happened?
In this one, she starts out in the middle of a desert, and then sees some crows, and it's like, oh, they're zombie crows, and they go and attack her, and then she runs into, I believe, Chris, right?
No, I think you're talking about the next one.
No, this was Extinction.
I remember
Extinction.
Yeah, Extinction was good. As a zombie movie, Extinction was good. I didn't know anything about Resident Evil when I first watched it, but it was like a zombie movie with a little bit of supernatural elements to it. So she kills all the crows, then she finds the people with the bus, and then controls the flamethrower and kills all the other crows that attack them. And then she's being watched by Umbrella Corporation, but then she runs over and like kicks their asses and slices them up and kills them because she knows she's being watched. And then she goes and back climbs the water tower and gets shot, and then zombies get released from underground, and it ends up with her cloning herself a bajillion times being naked.
Yeah, it should be noted, spoiler alert, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a ton of people out there who are concerned about spoilers. I think we're saving them on a truck.
Again, she gets naked in every movie, though, doesn't she? Pretty much.
She gets what?
She's naked in almost every one of those movies, isn't she, at some point?
Which is, I always find weird, because I believe it's her husband who directs them.
Oh, all right. Well.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Tim Burton and Helen Carter, where he's like, oh, I'll just have you pair up my best friend in every movie and film it, because that's not weird.
Pretty much. Hey, as long as it's consistently the same guy, I don't know, some people are more open than others, I guess.
Yeah. I don't.
Anyway, my point being, Extinction was a good movie.
Yeah, and I think for a while these odd Resident Evils were good, because then we'll get to Resident Evil Afterlife.
Yeah.
And I remember this one, sadly enough, because this one is when the series really just kind of goes batshit insane.
It's when I went to 3D, right?
I believe so.
I remember watching this movie in 3D. And it being just, like, the worst kind of, like, stuff popping out at your face 3D.
I hate that, because sometimes I watch movies, and they aren't actually filmed for 3D, but they, like, throw stuff at the screen, or they'll talk, and I'm like, was this filmed for 3D? And you find out it wasn't, so I'm like, why do they have these shots in here? Because only 3D movies ever have those stupid shots of things coming towards the camera.
Yep.
Because it's cool and new, back in, like, 2003.
So go ahead and describe the plot of Resident Evil, repetitive adjective. Which I forget.
If I'm remembering this one correctly, it starts off with her. She has a clone army. She goes to attack Wesker, who's introduced.
Yeah, and they wipe out her clones immediately, right?
Yeah, because they had to get rid of
the last movie in the intro.
And I believe she... I forget how she comes across Chris Redfield, but they pretty much... This is when they introduced... This is after Resident Evil 4. So they introduced the giant dude with the hammer.
And yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a fight in the bathroom with him and Chris and Alice, and then they somehow...
Didn't Chris die in Extinction and then come back in the next one? Somebody died because they went out in the bus, or in the gas tanker, and I think they came back at some point, but maybe I'm losing my timeline here.
It's Carlos, not Chris.
Oh, okay. And sorry, jeez. Don't know how I could get them confused.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm cheating because I have the Wikipedia pages open for these movies after going through them.
Dude with giant biceps, number one.
hey, nothing will ever top Chris's giant biceps in Resident Evil 5.
Oh, let's not go on about how he punches a rock.
Oh my god, the greatest scene in video game history. He boxes a rock to death. A rock, because a rock would undersell it. It's a boulder.
Yeah, let's not forget that he's in the middle of a volcano also.
In the middle of a volcano.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I do remember that, because it's like Alice has powers every other movie, and they like find a way to Metroid her at the beginning of every other one. So like, she gets a clone army, and she gets Metroided at the beginning of the next one, and then gets superpowers, and then loses them at the beginning of the next one. It's an interesting little cycle she has. Poor girl.
Yeah, well, I mean, because you can't start off with a superpowered being in a zombie movie, because it defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
It defeats the purpose when you don't feel that she's going to die, which she won't, because it defeats the purpose. Even though I think she has died, and they brought her back in some weird
way. I think, for the most part.
Yeah, clones, or being injected with something, or soldier serum. But yeah, I believe this one ends with them attacking like Wesker's very sterile base.
Is this the one where they introduced Wesker?
I think he was introduced in the prior one.
Yeah, I think he was introduced in 3, but they like recast him as a new guy.
Oh yeah, okay.
So like he had a radically different look between the two movies.
And I remember just the guy in sunglasses thinking, "Oh, you were a pain to kill in 5. Like we kicked you out of a plane into a volcano, and then you didn't die, and then I turned the game off because I got angry."
Oh yeah, and I believe I think this is the introduction where he tosses his sunglasses towards the screen. Because that's what people do.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
But yeah, it ends with a fight, and I believe they escape on a helicopter, and this is shot down like right away, because you can't end with a happy ending, I guess.
No, you gotta leave a cliffhanger for the next one again.
And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, I've seen part 4, and that was pretty much my I'm done with this serious moment, so I have no idea.
Oh! Well, 5 starts at that exact moment on the ship with the helicopter exploding, and with each series they get more and more like John McClane action-like, to where it gets absolutely ridiculous, the kind of stuff that goes on. And at 5 she's like backflipping between bullets, like, I don't know, it's... 5 is ridiculous, but 5 is also... Or 6? We on 6? Never mind. Whatever the next movie is...
Retribution.
The most video gamey of all of them. They get all the characters together in one room, and then they get that one, like, girl that Vin Diesel always likes that's, like, super butch and manly. Forgot her name. She's always a Vin Diesel in roles, like, in Fast and Furious.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, that one. She was in the movie. Anyway, it's like every character that's ever been in a Resident Evil game all goes and attacks a base together, and it's really dumb, but it's aware that it's dumb, so it's kind of funny for that reason.
Now you're making me want to actually watch this.
Well, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Maybe drink a little bit first.
Oh, man, I figured that was goes without saying. I mean, that's how I watched the last 2 films.
Okay, yeah, okay. Then get some buddies together, drink, and watch the last Resident Evil movie, and you might have an alright time.
So to say, because I drank with the last one, and I ended up not liking that. So if you can't enjoy it with booze, I really wanted to drop off the series.
Yeah, they have, like, those girl-on-girl fights where they both kick each other's ass. There's, like, one of those big ones, and then it's interesting, I guess.
I'm pretty sure Michelle Rodriguez is, like, cast in film so that they can have somebody else, another female, to beat up in movies.
Pretty much, yes. That's exactly what happens in this
movie. It does sound accurate.
It's what she does. I mean, it's not a bad role. But yeah, like we were saying, you know, over the course of these 5 movies and I guess the animated series, is that, and I don't know if this speaks to the industry as a whole, but the more and more video game elements you introduced, the more zany and over the top and nonsensical the movies became.
Yep.
And it wasn't starting from a very high point to begin with. So by the time you hit like the third and fourth movies, it was really out there. And from what you sound, it sounds like the fifth one just really just runs with it. And I'm really curious to see. Well, okay, I don't mean to say I'm really curious to see, but I assume they're going to make a sixth one because these movies continue to do well.
Do they? Yeah. I have no idea how the last one performed.
It made $240 million off of a $60 million budget. Yeah, they do really well.
Man.
There's a sixth one scheduled for next year, September 12th, 2014.
Oh, my God. Well, and I'll probably watch it, too. I'm part of the problem, I guess. I should probably stop making those, but I'm going to keep watching them.
And hoping that maybe we will finally get that great video game movie.
I've given up hoping that a long time ago.
I don't mean to bash on Resident Evil, but maybe if they get a better subject matter and just a guy who, nothing against the director either, but a guy who wants to take it seriously too.
I actually don't have any problems with. I think Resident Evil makes a good movie. I guess I enjoyed the first one. I think, you know, horror movies do well. I mean, horror movies, yes, tend to have this EB feel to them. Every time we recommend a horror movie, it usually comes with a caveat. Especially, you know, slashers, zombie films, haunted houses. Like, there are generally scary and well-done movies, but for the most part, it's kind of the same thing like the action movies. Like, I have no problem recommending those. And I think the first Resident Evil does a good job. I just think that it goes too far off the rails without really kind of doing anything new and innovative with the genre. I mean, it gets 28 Days Later, and I think that's a fantastic zombie movie that they could have used as a Resident Evil archetype.
Yeah, I could say that.
I can definitely agree with that point. The 28 days or weeks, whatever you want to call the series, is a pretty good one. And it does zombies pretty well, too.
So are we going to discuss what video games we'd like to see in movies? Because that'd be kind of interesting. I'll let you get to your movies first, but let's put a pin in that topic.
We'll put a pin in that topic for now. Moving over, we mentioned Silent Hill, and I will be honest again here. Part of the reason I wanted to do this is because I have Torture and Trent to talk about the Silent Hill movies, because he's a huge fan of he's a huge fan of the video game series, and he feels like they completely butchered a movie franchise, and he always rants about it. So, I have not seen the second Silent Hill film yet. I've seen the first one, and I actually...
Are there only two?
Yeah.
Okay, then I have seen both of them. All right.
I really enjoyed the first one, and I always felt like part of it is because I've never played the games.
Yeah, I never played the games either, but I did enjoy... I remember enjoying the first one. I didn't think it was perfect. Like, it definitely had some holes in it, but it at least told a really interesting story. Like, it had a bit of a mind-screwy effect to it.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what, you know, it knows what it wants to be. It's kind of this supernatural, bizarre town that's, you know, partially in her mind, partially not, and she's looking for a child. And it does great with its atmosphere and its limited, you know, budget and stuff like that. So I've never had any problems with that. But from what I've always been told, it does butcher the first two games badly.
Oh. Well, I can't speak to that one. I remember the movie being really beautiful. First one.
Yeah, it's shot in that really kind of smoky...
The dust looked really cool.
Yeah. It has some really great monster designs and stuff like that. Interesting characters. I really like the lead, which I always think is sometimes an issue with horror movies. Like, I hate watching a horror film where I want the main characters to die.
Yeah, unless that's the point. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, I mean, like an assassin, you kind of cheer for the monster to kill them, but you also kind of want to ride behind. Like, if you just want everybody to die in a film, it defeats the purpose because they are going to die.
Yeah.
You kind of I guess a good example would be like, you never really want Sydney to die in the Scream movies because she is a likable main character who has gone through a lot.
That's true. All right.
Dewey, no problem. But,
So that second Silent Hill movie had Sean Bean and Jon Snow. Oh, wait, Sean Bean. It had the Jon Snow actor in it, and I think it did have Sean Bean in it. I'm pretty sure there were two Game of Thrones actors in the movie. Sean Bean died again.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know Sean Bean is in it, and I believe he dies in the opening scene.
He dies pretty early, yes. it had some teenage brat, Jon Snow, who like wasn't allowed to cut his hair because he couldn't cut his hair for the Game of Thrones movies. So they looked vaguely like their Game of Thrones counterparts. And you're like, oh, that's cool. I want to see them in a movie and see how they do. And then the movie goes on. You're like, oh, Maybe you guys should stick to medieval Game of Thrones-y stuff, because this movie is atrocious.
Well, I was about to say, John Bean's a great actor.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it was just the script of the movie. They had nothing to work with there. It was like a girl in a town, but then she's haunted by these evil forces that want to suck her into the town, and they get pulled back into Silent Hill. Oh, no. And then it's the church from the first one. And then some zombie monsters cutting up people. It tried to blend the real world with the Silent Hill world, and it got really weird because of it.
You know, ironically, though, that's like what the games are about, too, so I think Trent would probably make a better argument than I could, because I've only played a little bit of 2. But, yeah.
Then maybe it fall prey to the Resident Evil format and try to make the second game too much like, or movie too much like the game, and it ended up hurting the movie.
Maybe. I haven't seen it. I don't know a thing about either of, I know one thing about the first movie.
If the game's good, the movie's terrible, so. There you go.
So that means you should make great movies off of terrible games.
There it is.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Dan?
Nothing beyond that, really. We actually had a discussion in one of my classes today about Silent Hill 2, so I can talk a little bit about that because I've got a little bit of exposure.
How did Silent Hill 2 organically come up in a class?
It was interactive storytelling class, so.
Oh. All right. I like your major.
Thanks, but well, I don't really have much to say about Silent Hill, but I guess I'll fill in for Trent as best as I can. The games do pretty good psychological horror. I haven't seen either of the movies, so I can't say how well they do it, but I think one had the right idea or so when, like, it was trying to go for, like, this menacing, like, Pyramid Head was in it, and he was, like, really menacing and lumbering, and that was kind of, like, what Pyramid Head's MO was, and so I think they had the right idea down, and then it sounds like Revelations had that, like, whole what's real, what's not effect going on. I don't know.
Wait, isn't Revelations the Resident Evil title as well? So Silent Hill and Resident Evil just recycle the same adverbs?
I think Revelation is the Resident Evil game. I don't know if it's a Resident Evil movie.
Yeah, it's a game. And it's on sale right now, actually, if you want to go on to the Wii U or 3DS eShop.
Great sale for Capcom. But it is a great sale, 50% off. So $10 on the 3DS if you're looking into it. And from what I hear, the best Resident Evil since 4.
Yeah, it's pretty solid, actually.
But yeah, this is also a film that was filmed for 3D, so I'm kind of curious. Does it have stuff being tossed towards the camera?
Yes, of course. I think there's like a human limb coming towards the camera, an eyeball at some point, Pyramid Head's giant thing, a carnival theme, chainsaw... It sounds all right when I'm explaining it like this, but I swear it's not very good.
it happens, and I mean, as you said, most video game movies aren't that good. But I guess, you know, just kind of skipping ahead or skipping backwards is Doom, another game that I don't have much experience with, so I enjoy the movie a lot more. I think just because The Rock does have this very action movie aura to him, and you kind of believe that he'll kick aliens' asses and stuff like that, and he gets the BFG. And also, I'm probably in the minority here, but I love the first-person section.
I don't remember the movie that much, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Well, that was the big hook for the first one. I guess the only movie is that it, there's like a 5 to 10 minute sequence near the climax of the film, which is done completely in first person, with, like, you behind the eyes of the character and, like, them going through this area that has been corrupted by a bunch of, you know, monsters now, and just shooting them. And it's pretty well done.
Like Doom.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the thing. And we'll get to this in a bit with House of the Dead, where they tried to incorporate an element of the game, a first-person shooter, into the movie by turning it into a first-person segment. That was probably the most heavy on shooting at that point. But, yeah, it's a really... I don't want to say well done, because I don't think any video game movie has been really well done yet.
I can agree with that, yeah.
Tomb Raider's
alright. The first one's okay. I found the second one such a bore.
Oh.
You know, I went back and watched the first one, and it's actually not even that good. It's, like, so
is it really?
Cheesy for that time period, like... This is clearly a video game movie.
It's got Tuor Mormontin, so another Game of Thrones actor in a video game movie, now that I'm thinking about it.
I saw it for the first time earlier this year, actually, and the only thing I was thinking about is, how smart is Daniel Craig? Like, this is like a year before he becomes Bond. He's huge in that film.
Yeah, that's true.
And he does a terrible American accent.
You know, I don't remember that. All I remember is that all the action scenes were like that cheesy, like, early 2000s style, but then also like that cheesy, this is clearly a video game movie action
like
one-liner.
Like walls and,
I guess it knew what it was, I guess, in fairness.
Yep. And then the whole, her stunt woman had a ponytail and she didn't, so you could always tell whenever they swapped out for a stunt person. But that was also Angelina Jolie at her most attractive, I believe.
I would say Mr. or Mrs. Smith.
Okay, all right, fine. It's where I first learned about Angelina Jolie as a child. I didn't know who she was until that point. A child, however old I was, remember that movie came out? Probably a child.
Thanks for making me feel old. But back to Doom.
I was 3 years old.
I don't even know what else to say about Doom. It has Carl Urban, who I feel like has never really had that breakout role.
It's red without Tabasco. That was the voice of the internet. Every time you bring up Carl Urban, they always shout the movie's red, so I figured I would take up that mantle.
It's an amazing movie.
Oh, you know, I didn't like Dread that much, but that's another discussion.
I thought it was good, but overrated by the internet, because the internet says it's the best action movie ever.
Yeah, I think if the internet fell, I think even The Raid was better, and that was pretty much the same year.
Yeah.
But tangents and all that. I honestly don't know what else to say about Doom, and neither one of you have seen it, so moving on.
I played Doom.
Actually, I have a question concerning Doom while we're just barely on it. It sounds and looks more like Doom 3 than the other Doom movies, is that correct?
Yeah, it's based on Doom 3.
Okay, because
it can be based on anything, really, but yeah.
I only know Doom 1 and 2, I haven't actually played 3, and I like Doom 1, but the look of it, I guess it does a pretty good job of emulating that like dark and sort of bluish, blackish, brownish like space station feel of Doom 3.
I do think that's one thing video games and video game movies have to work on. Is we have a very limited color palette in video games.
Yeah.
It was in that hazy brownish gray that we're used to in everything else. But yeah, House of the Dead came out in 2003, and this is directed by Ubo. My boy, I've seen way too many of his movies.
Say his name again.
Ubo.
Okay, never heard it said like that. It's kind of funny.
I don't know.
Ubo.
I
think it's Yui, but I don't. It's like I know. Never mind. Ubo. Sure.
Like he deserves it.
I was gonna say the same thing.
And I will recommend this movie. I think it's a ton of fun. It's pretty much a zombie killing spree. Like, zombies just run amok. There's really no, they don't try to hide it. But this is most notable for the fact that it actually uses footage from the House of the Dead video game for certain scenes, which really, I mean, I don't know if you played House of the Dead. Wasn't that great of a graphical showcase to begin with? It's even worse in 2003. And even more terrible when you watch it in 2011. It does not hold up. It stands out like a sore thumb. But I do admire them for trying that. And I thought it was a novel idea of actually using game footage to kind of splice in during kill sequences. Because it did make for something visually different than I was accustomed to in most movies. I recommend it. I thought it was a ton of fun. It's enjoyable. And I think of the films you mentioned so far, it's pretty much the most straightforward kind of horror film. It's a zombie movie. It's nothing else. It's not, you know, it's not an action movie. It's not a space opera. It's just a zombie movie with you killing zombies as much as possible.
I guess those are the easiest video game licenses to convert to movies is zombies. That's been the majority of what we've, horror, I guess, good point, horror and zombies. So Dead Space should be a movie then.
They have two animated movies, which are not half bad.
Alright.
I've heard they're actually pretty scary.
I would watch a live-action Dead Space movie. That would be interesting. Because I don't know half of the Scientology story that goes on in the middle of a moment of time, because I don't ever take the time to pay attention to it.
Yeah. But yeah,
Sandra.
I mean...
Thank you.
And there's a... there's a sequel to it, but I've never seen it because it's not done by him. And I've, like, if you're a director who's trying to follow up in his crap, you probably don't have much to offer. Like, if he walks off the series, you gotta be like, I'll take up the mantle.
Right.
But yes, I mean, other than that, there aren't, you know, there are a couple. Dread Rain isn't really worth the money. And I think that's it for video game horror films. I guess you folks know of any that we're missing.
I'm trying to think of any ones.
About four movies. I can think of a couple more video game movies that have been mediocre.
I mean, almost any video game movie you can name was mediocre.
Yeah, I can hear you Googling. Googling is cheating.
Oh, I'm not Googling.
Is there somebody?
That was definitely me.
Okay.
I guess there was a Fatal Fury movie in 94.
Oh, that one. I was 3 years old.
I have not seen that one. And wait, is Fatal Fury not horror?
I'm thinking of Fatal Frame, so good point. Good point.
Yeah, let's say Fatal Fury is a beat 'em up, I believe. Or am I confusing that with Fist of Fury? There's a lot of Fury in video games, apparently.
Yeah, a lot of raids going on.
Transitions well into the Street Fighter movie, kind of.
Yeah, I would have to say, it seems like the two most popular genres to adapt into movies for video games are horror and fighting games for some odd reason.
Yeah.
Because we've done Double Dragon, we've done Street Fighter, we've done Mortal Kombat, we've done Tekken, we've done Dead or Alive. So yeah, I don't know why those two genres are the ones that people tend to
adapt.
Because
they've got a bunch of characters in them, and they're already, like, I don't know. It's very violent, very sexual, and a ton of characters that translates well into a popcorn flick.
If it translated well at all.
Okay, does it translate well in practice, but in theory that makes for an interesting, like, no-brainer movie?
Yeah, yeah. And there's usually enough of a world for you to kind of pick and choose and kind of adapt from that.
Yeah, because the best video game movies work from, like, the least amount of story. So.
Which honestly speaking, and you wanted to talk about this, so we can kind of touch on this now, is I honestly think that's where you need to pull from as far as adapting, because you can't adapt something like, I don't know, Metal Gear Solid, which is like 15 hours of craziness.
Oh god, don't even try.
Right, because people get mad if you don't include the game story, but then they'll get mad if you do include the game story, because it'll just be a rehash of the game, so what are you even doing? Which is, I believe, why the Halo movie never quite got made, right?
Bad funding also.
I think part of it was just that nobody wanted to touch it after a while. Like, people would get attached to it and then people would jump off. Because I think what you're going to end up with, and, you know, maybe this, is that it's in order for video game movies to kind of take off, you're going to have people who are more hands-on with it. But at the same time, a lot of people in the video game industry aren't in the movie-making business. So you don't want people who don't have experience doing this telling you what to do, but they need to be there because they need to kind of offer feedback and tell you what does and doesn't work or what fans do and don't expect.
I have a bit of a question for you. Where do you rank stuff like the Machinima series that they do from Halo for game properties, like Halo...
Forward Unto Dawn?
Yeah, Forward Unto Dawn, and then the Mortal Kombat Legacy series. Like, I'd argue those are decent adaptations of video game properties, but they may not quite count.
Forward Unto Dawn is an awesome series.
What do you think the role is of companies like Machinima and this kind of stuff? Do you like where that's going, or do you think it's weird?
I enjoy it, but I think it's a very kind of niche audience. It's not you can make kind of niche tie-in products, and those would do well. I mean, Nintendo did something similar with their Kid Icarus series on the 3DS, where they had, like, these, like, 2 or 3 minute shorts every week, and that was cool. But it's like, I think part of the reason you want to do video game movies is the same reason you do comic book movies, is that it expands the audience of that product, of that series, of that brand. And I think the people who are going to search out a YouTube series of Mortal Kombat or a YouTube series of Halo are the people who are already invested in the Haloverse or the Mortal Kombat verse.
That is a good point.
Like we mentioned with Resident Evil. Like, Resident Evil Retribution, the most recent one, did, what, 4 times its budget at movie theaters? So, you know, like, that is, you know, $225 million is a lot of people who went to go see that movie. And I've seen Resident Evil sales. It's not everybody who's played a Resident Evil game. It's more than that. It's probably 4 or 5 times that. So, yeah, I you know, but I do think it's a step in the right direction. I do think that maybe if you get enough people with that type of experience, you could potentially get somebody who breaks through to the other side and they get recruited by Hollywood to do a proper adaptation of a video game.
I mean, if you get enough ambitious game developers, I guess, who step onto the role too, like you have in the case of, like, David Cage, who's, you know, like, he's a game designer and he's got some semblance of, I guess, film-ish knowledge. I don't really know very much about his background, but if you get someone like that who's got, like, a sort of good knowledge of both sides of things.
Then you can also go a little bit too far, like Kojima, where people say, just make a movie already and stop making video games, because that's clearly what you want to do.
I think that's what people say about David Cage as well.
Yeah.
And I think the problem with that is I don't necessarily think those would adapt well to good movies. So it is that. And they are making a film off of this. I always thought the most interesting one recently that I think could make a great movie is Assassin's Creed, because it's a franchise that kind of gives you all your time to play with.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do an adaptation of any Assassin's Creed game, but you can say, like, okay, we're going to do a Civil War era Assassin's Creed movie, because...
How is that coming along, by the way? Is that still in production, or did they cancel that?
I believe it's still in production.
Last I heard, Fassbender's attached to it, and the internet made a big deal about that.
Yeah, I thought Fassbender was attached to it. It's coming out in 2 years. Okay. So it should start filming next year. So I'm kind of curious to see what they do, because, again, because it is set up for that franchise where it's kind of this continuous timeline where stuff happened in the past and the present, they can just say, we're going to do a movie in the Civil War, and all you have to do is have the 10th yards and an assassin, and you're pretty much set. You can create your own story, and it would work in that universe. Another one that I think would work well, and
we haven't mentioned the Need for Speed movie yet. I think that needs to be discussed. What are your thoughts on it?
I don't think Need for Speed works, because Need for Speed as a conceit is Fast and the Furious, which is what it was based off of.
Yeah. I completely agree. And the trailer is all emotional. I don't know why you have a Need for Speed movie and make it an emotional trailer. It blows my mind.
Yeah, that's what confused me. It's like I'm watching that trailer and I'm like, so you created a movie from Need for Speed, which is basically about street racing, and this is kind of a crime drama?
Right? I saw somebody on YouTube take a cut of that trailer, make a new cut of it, and add in the song Get Low by Lil Jon, and then it felt like a Need for Speed movie. So, all it's missing is... like, yes! It's exactly the movie I want. So, maybe... it'll get ridiculous, because I've seen, like, pictures of the cars they used for that movie, and they've got the crazy, like, Lamborghini cop car, and it's painted bright yellow, and that's what I want to see out of a Need for Speed movie, not Aaron Paul crying for 2 hours.
People want to see Aaron Paul cry.
I want to see Aaron Paul cry.
Go watch the last 3 seasons of Breaking Bad.
Everybody has their fetish.
Yeah, I guess. He's good at crying, just make him cry again. Just the whole trailer. Alright, fine.
I guess kind of trying to bring this back full circle. Like, what horror game franchise would you like to see adapted, or how would you fix the ones that have been adapted to movies?
I want to go back to Fatal Frame, I guess, briefly. I've always thought Fatal Frame was a pretty interesting and good example of horror, because it was like, it forces you, the game at least, the game mechanic is that you have to capture spirits with a camera, and so it forces you into a situation where you literally have to stare the ghost in the face, so it puts you in that position of fear where you can't move and you have to look right at it to, like, directly face it. I feel like that could be kind of interesting if you did some sort of, like, experimental shot where it's sort of like the documentary-style filming, the person's, like, running around with the camera.
I think Outlast would make a good one.
Oh, hold on. We'll come back to that in a second.
I was gonna say,
and I know people hate this, but it made me think of, you know how, like, the second screen experience is kind of big now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it made me think of, like, if you had, like, an interactive thing where you could bring, like, a tablet or a smartphone, and you actually have to hold it up to the screen.
You want to go down hallway A or hallway B?
Well, like, you could hold it up to the screen and kind of find them during certain key scenes, and you could... can, like, have people spooked out and stuff like that. Granted, it's a gimmick that would only work once, and it's not something that everybody would engage in. But since Hollywood seems intent on making second screen experience a thing, even though nobody's asking for it, I just thought that would be an awful idea.
Yeah, it would be an awful idea, so they're probably going to take it in about a month. Thanks for that. I'm blaming you whenever I see that in theaters.
No problem. As long as they cut me a check.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you were saying, Sam?
I think Outlast or Amnesia would make a good one, because A, they'd be cheap to make. You could literally do a Blair Witch Project-style, like, person with a GoPro who has to investigate this asylum. Really, Outlast, which I'm hoping that I'm getting the name right of that game. But
yep, it's Outlast.
The guy has to go and has the camera and has to take pictures of things. Like, it's the same basic idea, but it's already the one person going through a scary space, and then maybe add in a few more characters for some tension, but it's already designed like a good horror movie. So if you wanted to, now granted, those properties probably aren't big enough to actually make a successful movie based on the game and warrant having the license, but they make interesting, like, indie horror movies.
Yeah. I think that would work as well. I actually think, I mean, if this would be a straight-up zombie film, but F for Dead.
Oh, yeah, okay. It'd be more of a comedy if I...
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
I can see it taking somewhat of the role of, what's it called? Cabin in the Woods. Where that was, I mean, that was sort of like a dissection of the genre, sure, but that sort of tone, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
That works.
Kind of the tone Left 4 Dead's always had. That would work. And Valve's got just a little enough story to where you can do basically whatever you want to with a Left 4 Dead game.
Yeah, or you can expand on the stories that they have. I mean, it's basically any zombie movie where they're going from location to location trying to get help, and you can just have stuff. Like, you can literally do 5 movies off of the product. Left 4 Dead with all those different stages, no mercy.
I mean, yeah, I'd prefer another Left 4 Dead game, but
Valve can't count to 3. We all know the rules.
Yeah, no, I don't know how.
Left 4 Dead 2, Episode 1.
Oh, God, no. They already basically did that already, though.
Yeah, that's... They'll have a Left 4 Dead compilation next gen that has new maps and it ties the story together, even though there is a... There is a thing that already ties the stories together, right?
We introduced a new character again for the last 2 games. We're going to re-release them for next-gen consoles.
You already mentioned Dead Space, which is another good one. And honestly, I can't... Well, I guess the rest of them were just... Dino Crisis, maybe? A futuristic Jurassic Park?
Naughty Bear, the movie.
I don't know if that would be horror, though.
Oh, it might be. Play the game.
I have to say, for some people, it might be.
You can make the Chucky movie, and you can make a Naughty Bear horror movie.
Actually, you know a good one that could work? Dead Rising series. Not too horror-y, but, you know, it's enough. They could do something with it.
I think, again, that would be zombie comedy.
They could have already got a ton of Dead Rising movies, though. It's what Dawn of the Dead is. They even got sued by the Dawn of the Dead people for including some of the shots from Dawn of the Dead in it, so... But fair.
I think that can work, though. I do think that Tony, I mean, it's very hard to do horror in video games, even though I feel like it's the genre most, because it's interactive, unlike movies, so you can kind of play with people. Oh, Eternal Darkness would make an interesting one.
Yeah, something like that. One I was thinking of that kind of reminds me of stuff like House of the Dead and whatnot is Splatterhouse. It's got that sort of like 80s, slasher sort of feel.
Oh, that reminds me, even though this is kind of what The Conjuring should have been, Manhunt?
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that could work.
That's Saw, but yeah.
a different
take on the Saw movies, because Saw movies have all but died. You need somebody to do torture porn.
Oh, you know, a series we didn't touch up on at all, actually, is Alone in the Dark actually has a movie.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So prepared for this podcast, I never knew.
Oh, to be fair, it's probably for good reason. and this, again, I think would be kind of in the horror realm, and I think this would be more like Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy. Luigi's Mansion.
It could work.
Yeah, because we've done a lot of kind of CG kid-oriented horror movies recently. Paranorman. Frankenweenie, I should say, Coraline, 9, Monster House, stuff like that. So, Yeah, I can see Luigi's. I mean, and he has enough personality to carry a movie, unlike his brother.
M-rated Luigi's Mansion movie. Based off that screenshot of the hanging Mario, and then just take it from there.
Starring Sean Bean as Mario, who dies in sequence.
Cast the same guys from the Super Mario Brothers movie. Oh, wait a minute. Too soon.
Yeah.
It's a little hard to do these days.
And we wouldn't want that on our worst enemies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anything else before we begin to wrap?
Just looking through a list of a bunch of horror games here. I mean, you could have something like System Shock could work. I feel like it's been done before in a movie, but I guess arguably it's sort of like HAL from 2001 A Space Odyssey. A little bit of that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a ton of potential in video games to turn into movies, and there's a ton of potential for horror game franchises to be turned into movies. So far, we haven't seen anything that has kind of taken that baton and ran with it, but it looks like Hollywood is going to continue to try. I don't know how long video games are going to keep making them try, because it does kind of diminish the brand and make you look bad when you get all these crappy movies. But
yeah.
You just need one hit to turn it all around and for people to see, like, this can be taken seriously. I was also going to say horror video games probably exist in movies a lot more because Resident Evil continues to be a highly successful franchise. I think, pound for pound, the best, I guess, highest grossing video game franchise in movies to date.
Yeah,
which
true.
Isn't much competition, but yeah. It's much better than, like, Prince of Persia, which was a huge hit for Disney. I mean,
yeah.
Hit financially, not a hit for being a standout. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Yeah, that will do it for us this week. Check out the site. We will be doing Sharknado this weekend.
Ooh.
Which I'm super excited for because I've not got a chance to check it out. I'm also not excited for it because I did those rules when I knew my friend was going to do it and I wasn't going to be around, so I made it extra dicky, and now I'm kind of screwed myself over because I can't change it and admit that I did. Oh, you just screwed him over. Trent has a review of, I forget what it's called, and I probably should know this by now. Tell, it's a short horror film. So check that out. We've done Blood on the Rocks, two of them so far. We've done American Vampire, and we've done... I should really pay attention to stuff when I do it. We did Yak and Key, and next week we're doing Swamp Thing, so check that out. I think that's it. Anything you two want to plug before we go?
I was thinking about plugging, perhaps, if anyone follows me on Twitter, at least, I'm trying to get a stream running. For something Halloween-related this weekend or next.
Oh, do you know what?
I'm not sure yet. If it's going to be PC-related, it might be the new Amnesia game. Well, new-ish Amnesia game.
Which our review did not like. A pig, a machine for pigs or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that does remind me, we do have a Resident Evil poll up on the site. This is for the video game franchise, not the movie franchise. And currently Resident Evil 4 is in the lead. Followed by Resident Evil and then Resident Evil 2. Sadly, nobody has voted for Resident Evil 0 yet.
Bummer. Poor Resident Evil 0.
Wah, wah, wah.
Somebody's voted for Resident Evil 6. I mean, it takes every kind.
I guess.
So yeah, we'll be back next week. I believe next week we are doing our next-gen podcast. I think our next-gen podcast, because I really want to talk about that as much as possible, because yay, video games.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank Dan and Sam and our one-name podcast, apparently. And this has
thank
been
you.
North on the Rocks episode 149.